Good day, everybody.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to episode 40, epic episode 40. And we are in Jundiabyne, North Carolina. Just kidding. It's not where we are.
Why does it feel like we're in North Carolina?
I know, maybe because it's raining. But you're here listening to Maxie and Corey talk about our adventures down under. I completely screwed up in the beginning of this episode. But we are going to keep it because this is going to be a fantastic episode.
Also, Jundiabyne, North Carolina is especially not where we are because it's called Jundiabyne. Corey keeps calling it Jundiabyne.
Yeah, there's a ton of places. Maxie was complimenting me on my proper name saying recently, but that's gone all out the window in this last couple of weeks here.
But yeah, you find us in Jundi for big episode 40.
Yes, and we're sorry we're a little late on this one, but we've done so much this week. Happy Thanksgiving and happy Thanksgiving. Black Friday.
Yep.
Any Black Friday deals out there, let us know.
Yeah, we don't really care that much, though. We're simple now. We don't need much.
Yeah. So you left us off. We were recording in, where were we?
Port Macquarie.
Port Macquarie, and this was before we went and saw our friends, and I think right after we recorded in Port Macquarie, I found this app that basically tells you, like, where, like, it's called iNaturalist, and it tells you where all the fauna and flora is around, and there were some mushrooms around, so we went on a little mushroom hunt.
Someone has to log their sightings of said mushroom, so Corey saw that someone logged a mushroom.
And we were like, oh, let's just go see it. But it turned out we were driving like in just the middle of nowhere. I mean, the place actually looked pretty cool, but we went on like a 10-minute drive off the beaten path and checked it out. And then we're looking around for some mushies. And Maxie opened the door and boom, mushy right there. It wasn't like any kind of mushroom that was special, but it was funny that it was right there.
It was right at my door, and then there were no other mushrooms anywhere else.
Yeah, but the mushroom hunt continues. It's like finding, it's like, where's Waldo, you know? You gotta find them.
Your grandma told you to stay away from the mushrooms.
Yeah, and stop eating burritos. So I've only had
one burrito
this week, and I haven't had any mushrooms this week, so that is that.
We have two against one with the burrito gate.
Yeah, Maxie and my grandma are against me, but I will stay off the burritos. They're just so good and so quick and easy.
Okay, enough. So then we went to Foster, spelled Forster.
Yeah, Forster, Foster.
And I've been here over 5 years ago when I, on our Easter break, me and my study abroad friends, we all went to a local's house in Wingham in the bush, and she toured us all around her region, and Foster was one of the towns, and it has a really cool beach called One Mile Beach. Giant sand dunes at the top, like a massive hill. A massive hill of sand. Super steep.
It's one of the steepest sand dunes I've ever seen. Like, it was almost vertical. Like,
yeah. And you get a really phenomenal view of this massive beach from above when you're on the sand dunes. And I showed Corey it, and it was really cool to be in that same place years later.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. And we saw kids on like sledding down the sand hill. So that's what you do when you don't have any snow. You go sand sledding.
Yeah, I actually have a picture on Instagram from 2019 of kids sand sledding.
Yeah, it looked really fun, honestly. And yeah, there were some kids going like double down, and it was funny.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see, but our road trip continued south. We were still probably an hour away, we were a couple hours away from Newcastle, which was our destination for the weekend. And
we stayed at Teona.
Yeah, Teona in right outside of Booty Booty National Park.
Seriously, Booty Booty National Park.
Yeah, they have the funniest names here. And we just had some banter with the like lady at the front desk of where we wanted to stay and just like joking around. But we eventually picked a spot, and we were right next to the highest camper I've ever seen.
Well, this man starts whispering to us, and then we're like, we couldn't hear him, so we're just like laughing and being like, haha, yeah. And then he points to his bong in his van, and he's like, me and my dog are about to get really high. So we're like, okay, go have fun.
Yeah, I think what we were thinking was that he thought he was talking so loud, but he was just talking so soft.
He was literally whispering, and we had no idea what he was saying, and it was like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
He didn't need to whisper. And no one else was around. Even if he was talking at a normal volume, no one would have heard it. And he just was having all his conversations in a whisper. So that had us laughing. But then we had more adventures with that man.
Oh, yeah. We talked to him a ton in the morning. Well, I talked to him a ton in the morning. Like, he was one of those people that if you started talking to him, just like, there goes 30 minutes.
Oh, in the morning, he talked at a normal volume, actually.
Yeah, he did talk about a normal.
So he was literally so high, he thought he was yelling the night before.
Yeah, and he actually told me a pretty good joke that I'll tell here. And for some reason, me and him were talking about, like, Jesus and, like, something like that. And he said, oh, yeah, if Jesus walked into a bar in Australia, out in like the outback or some pub, he would go up to somebody and say, hey mate, you got any dramas? And the guy at the bar would be like, yeah, I got some dramas. My ankle hurts, my leg, I twisted it, and it's been really bothering me. And he goes, all right, if you buy me a pint, I'll fix your dramas. And so he buys him a pint, and his leg feels better, his ankle feels better. And then he goes to the next guy in the bar, the pub, and says, hey mate, you got any dramas? And he's like, yeah, my back, I got sciatica, it's killing me. And he's like, mate, if you buy me a pint, I'll fix it. And he buys him a pint, boom, back is fixed. And there's one more guy in this bar, this pub, and the whole town is basically there because it's the outback, so there's three people in the pub. And he goes, this third guy doesn't want to look Jesus in the eye and kind of is turning away from him. And Jesus comes and walks up to him and he goes, hey, mate, you got any dramas? He's like, yeah, I got a lot of dramas, but you stay away from me. I'm on workman's comp and I don't want you to touch me because I'm getting paid for the rest of my life. So there it also shows even Australians joke about not working.
Yeah, I mean, they full on admit that they don't like to work.
Yeah.
But that's a whole joke about it. I love that.
I know. It was a good one. I, like, didn't know how he transitioned into the joke, but he just, like, got there.
So, yeah, it hits harder if you live in Australia and you get to see how all these side little jokes within that joke are funny.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed this park. We were right behind a sand dune on the beach.
Yeah, we had all of our meals on the beach.
Yeah, we just, like, I don't know.
And we went swimming.
We made up some dinner. I forget what we made.
The best sausages from that butchery. Texas chili. And by chili, they mean, like, a bowl of chili. Somehow they flavored their sausages to taste like a bowl of chili.
It was delicious. Some of the best sausages I've ever had. Like, I really underappreciated the amount of butcher shops they had here, because I feel like they have them everywhere here, and just like back home, that's not really a thing. So we really should have gone to more of them, but maybe we'll stop by some on the way back to Sydney.
Yeah, but as we were walking down the beach trail to the beach from like our camping site, we kept walking by also this older man.
We walked by him twice.
Yeah, in the other direction as us. It just so happened he was also on the trail. And he would just step out of our way so far into like the brush. It was so unnecessary.
So the first time we were coming at him and it's like a narrow path. So we like start moving over to the side. And then he just completely like steps over to the side and is like walking in the bushes. And we're like, oh, that was a little weird. Like, you don't need to go that far.
Yeah. And he, like, almost fell when he did it the first time. And Corey was like, that was ridiculous. Why didn't he just, like, stay on the trail? He could have all fit. And then we happened to walk by him a second time on the trail. And he was holding champagne glasses with fruit in the glasses.
Yeah.
And he did the same thing. He jumped off to the side for us.
But this time he like fully slipped and almost went down.
Didn't you fall?
He like didn't fall on his butt or anything, but he like stepped off the edge and it was a big drop off. So it was like a sudden drop off and he was like, oh.
So that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was a bit odd to see.
It was strange.
Yeah, and that was awesome. We had breakfast, and we also had breakfast on the beach. It's kind of nice to, because we didn't really do that much, just have, like, I don't know. It was a really good caravan park, and I think we made the most of the beach there and the national park. And we headed on to Seal Rocks and the lighthouse down there, the Seal Rocks Lighthouse, which was gorgeous. We got recommended to this from Brett and Kelsey. They said Seal Rocks was an awesome place. We actually tried to sleep there, but it was all booked out. And I'm really glad we saw it because it was a beautiful, like, small coastal holiday village, I'd say.
Yeah, I underestimated how beautiful New South Wales was going to be. I thought it was going to be very busy because it's near Sydney. And you have the other larger towns like Coffs and Newcastle and
Central
Wollongong, but no, it's actually like not developed like America's populated areas are. It's not.
It's actually crazy. So many people live in Sydney when there's so much more beautiful places up the coast. Like, I don't really understand. Like, I thought the East Coast was going to be chockers full of people. And that's not really the case. Like, Sydney's packed, and the suburbs, like, within 2 hours of Sydney are pretty busy. But, like, once you get above that two-hour mark away from city, like, everything north of Newcastle was empty and gorgeous.
Yeah, like, you would be driving through forest and, like, empty beaches to get to these little towns.
Yeah, it was incredible. And
we're not far from Sydney, like Corey said. So I want to come back and see this area more. I wish we spent more time in New South Wales.
I agree. I also really liked how the lighthouses all had like rental cottages. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, like, in this area.
Yeah, like each lighthouse had like 5 cottages on the property that were probably the old like lighthouse keepers and stuff. But now they rent them out. And
they have phenomenal views.
Oh, they'd be the coolest little places to stay.
Maybe we come back and we rent a lighthouse cottage.
Yeah, that would be fun. Except it's hard to get to.
Yeah, steep.
Yeah. And on that was the same day that we were driving down to Newcastle. And
our friends Emily and Johnny were hosting us. And we finally got to meet
their dog.
Their famous golden retriever, George.
Oh, he's a gorgeous big 10-year-old. Who's a little bit chunky, but that's okay because he's allowed to be because he's old.
Yeah, he's the best. And they were such great hosts. I can't even explain it. Well, I'll try, but...
Yeah, they were amazing. They had a little bit of a funky couch futon, but then that was not really that good. But Emily hooked us up with the beautiful air mattress.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. And George was a great little doggo.
And I think we were their second guests ever.
Yeah. And they were phenomenal hosts. They made some delicious Rocky Road.
Yeah, Rocky Road. Obviously, all of us Americans know it as an ice cream flavor, but it's a full-on dessert down here. And it's just like marshmallows and like a graham cracker style biscuit. And these red chewy candies that taste just like Twizzlers, all chopped up, covered in chocolate, and then cut up into bar form.
Yeah, it was like mixtures of chocolate with like salt sprinkled on top. Mm. It was amazing.
So good.
Yeah, and we were kind of just playing it by ear and figuring out some stuff to do. And what did Emily say we had to do?
So they're debating going out to a restaurant or
having a barbecue.
Having like an Australian barbecue. And Emily was trying to explain that she told her boyfriend, Johnny, well, Maxie and Corey are here. We need to do Aussie shit, mate.
Oh, it was so funny.
Excuse the language, but... It's just so funny.
Yeah, we really liked them, and they were great hosts.
They were committed to showing us the full Aussie experience. And we walked around Newcastle right after we arrived.
Yeah, we did the tour of Newcastle and like the surrounding suburbs. And funny enough, there was a climate protest because I think Newcastle is the biggest coal exporter in the world. So there's massive coal ships and there's a lot of coal mines around Newcastle. It's a very like worker city that has like heaps of coal mines and all sorts of stuff. So there was a climate protest going on where all these kayakers and boaters were out like protesting the coal mining and coal production.
And the big ships.
Yeah, and because all the there's big ships coming through and we got to witness it.
Yeah, they were on kayaks. And over 170 people got arrested for blocking the ships coming into the harbor.
Yeah, but these people are crazy. Like, what do you really think you're going to do with a massive tanker coming in? You're going to go out there and, like, they won't be able to stop for you. Like,
yeah, that would be scary.
But it was cool. I mean, like, cool to see, like, all those police officers out there, like, patrolling the waters.
Yeah, they had, like, SWAT boats.
Yeah, like, Navy boats with all guys loaded on them. It was nice. Nice to see that. And it was not even like a protest. It was like a festival, honestly.
Oh, yes. I wanted to mention this. Because Australians will make money in any way that isn't work. They sold tickets to their climate change protest. And it was a festival with so many food trucks, so many
tents.
Yeah, vendors, fun things happening in a gated massive area in a park right on the water there. And it's just so crazy. Like, how do you sell tickets to a protest?
Yeah, it's insane. But I guess they got to raise money to prevent the earth from doing what it naturally does.
But then they showed us the Newcastle baths and the Merriweather baths, which are giant ocean pools, but they are like proper like massive swimming pools filled with ocean water right on the ocean.
Yeah.
Not the small ones that are also called baths.
It's like triple Olympic size swimming pools.
Yeah.
Like it's three Olympic size swimming pools put together, and that's the smaller one. The Merriweather bath one that we saw after we went to dinner that night is double the size. So it's like five Olympic swimming pools. They're huge, and huge, huge pools.
Boy, is the water cold.
Oh, yeah. It was super windy, and we jumped in, and the water was really chilly. But good to hang out there. And
that's Aussie stuff, mate.
Going swimming in the baths. And yeah, it was fun to do, to go around these places, because we also the next day went to like where Johnny's from, which is called Blackies. And we explored around, like, there's a national park that goes along the coastline there, and we checked that out, and they're like, wow, this is nice. We really don't get to see we should do this more. Like, when they were showing us around, they're like, yeah, we don't come here enough.
Yeah. But that night we went to the Merriweather Beach House, and
it was like not really my vibe. It was like,
I think I'm getting too old for, like, these youngin' bars.
Yeah, it had a couple complaints. Like, the DJ was bumping tunes. The tunes were good, but it just seemed like it was trying to be a little too bougie, and we were just there for, like, a chill dinner, and the music was, like, wicked loud. I feel like that is such an old person thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, the old music was too loud. But it had a beautiful view of the ocean. And
it was definitely fun, you know?
But yeah, good vibes.
Anyways, the next morning we got up early to Corey and Johnny went to a bike park?
Just a little national park there called Glen Rock. And there's heaps of biking trails and there's running trails. So Johnny is a big trail runner. And I went on a bike ride. Trails were awesome. Like, so much fun. Very natural, well-built trails. Yeah, I loved it. And you went on a walk.
Yeah, Emily and I went on a walk along the coastline of Newcastle. And that was so beautiful. And then we got strawberry matcha afterwards.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah, what else did we do? Oh, we forgot to mention the night before. So George sleeps in their room and we were like across the hall from them. But George didn't really know what was going on. So he came and wanted to come and cuddle in our air mattress.
Yeah, I love George.
Yeah, and we also heard some more Aussie slang.
Yes, this one was shocking.
So we were talking to someone, I think we mentioned it last episode, about Chrissy.
We've heard it so many times since now.
Yeah, Chrissy's coming up, so that's probably why I've heard it more. But
Chrissy
we also talked, Chrissy Prezzies.
Chrissy Prezzies on Chrissy Eve or Chrissy Day.
Yeah. But this one really caught Maxie off guard.
Johnny and Emily were discussing something, I can't remember. And
I think house prices.
Yeah, and one was like, oh, is it Expeno? And Emily goes, yeah, it's so Expeno. And I just started dying laughing because it's longer and harder to say Expeno than to say expensive. I mean, maybe not, but
no,
kind of.
Expensive just rolls off the tongue better than Expeno.
Expeno.
But they literally shorten every single word. And
yeah, Catho. So they're giving us the tour of Blackie's, where Johnny's from, and we got fish and chips for the beach, which was fun.
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah.
At Pelican, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, you were probably going to talk about how...
So they kept touring us around, and Emily was driving, and her car was running out of gas, and she almost completely ran out of gas. And Johnny got annoyed at Emily because it was almost completely out. And she goes, well, I didn't expect to be giving the tour of Catho. Which was just so funny because it's this neighborhood called Catherine Hills. And they just call it Catho. And there's a famous pub there.
Well, the pub, we drove by the pub. They were hyping up this Catho pub. And it's just some hole-in-the-wall tavern that looks like a house.
A rundown house.
Yeah, rundown house.
They go there on Christmas Eve.
They're like, this is the place to be. And they're like, oh, yeah, I had a couple of long nights at Catho.
Some sessions there.
Yeah.
They call it.
Yeah.
It's a ripper of a joint.
Yeah, but sad that Catho got bought out by a massive building company. There used to be a really heavy coal mined area, but now the whole land is getting remodeled into just housing developments. And so we saw all the land being torn up. So if you want to support the cause, just tweet out Save Catho Pub.
Save Catho Pub. And then we did do our Barbie night.
Mm-hmm.
And we had prawns on the Barbie, also known as...
Shrimp on the Bobby. Yes.
That was a really bad accent. I apologize.
Which was delicious. They really put on an Australian barbecue for us.
Yeah, there was steaks, sausages, veggie patties for my girl M.
Mm-hmm.
She made such a great potato salad and mango salad.
Oh, so much good. So much good stuff.
Amazing. They are phenomenal hosts.
Oh, and something really special happened. So they have a nice garden where Johnny's growing some, like, peppers. Well, I don't know. George dug them up. and some chilies, some tomatoes. And also, they have this cactus that flowers only once a year.
For one day.
And when we were there, it didn't flower in the morning, but in the afternoon, it flowered while we were there.
The next day.
Yeah.
We did 2 days there. So that was really special.
It was a beautiful flower, too. I didn't know cactuses did that.
I know. I want one after that.
I don't know if it'd be able to survive in the barren wasteland of Brantford.
The cold. But speaking of Brantford, Johnny asked a great question. He said, since you've seen most of Australia now, like, what part reminds you the most of home? And Corey and I both could not answer anywhere.
Yeah, and we're still having trouble thinking of, like, places here that fit the description of, like, what Brantford's like. And it's really, like, nowhere. Like, here is so different than anywhere in the world, and we've seen all of this country.
Yeah, it's a lot of large beaches with waves and beautiful colored water, and Brantford is very flat, lagoon-like, darker grayish water. Sorry, Brantford.
Different rocks,
very flat. There's a lot of headlands in Australia.
Yeah, but even if you, like, go around the coast, you think, all right, so North Queensland down to, like, middle of New South Wales, that's all tropics. Like, that's tropical climate, rainforest with, like, mountains that are right next to it. And then you can forget about everything to the west because that's either desert or crazy massive empty spaces with blue, gorgeous water. I think the most that looks like home is the place we're in now, because we're up in, well, not even like Brantford. This place looks like New Hampshire or Vermont, just because they're pretty high mountains in this area, like kind of scrubby tree land.
Colder environment.
Yeah, a couple ski shops. But yeah, I guess Australia is unlike anywhere back home.
Yeah.
It's or just, maybe it's... Brantford's not like anywhere else in the world.
True. But yeah, we had to leave Nui, but luckily we knew we'd see them in a few days in the Kosciuszko area. But we made a pit stop in the Central Coast. I don't know where we were.
We just went to a nice surf club that had, we were at like this double beach that was really nice. We got coffee down there, and Maxie had a phenomenal, what was it?
Vanilla chai latte with oat milk. It tasted like...
It tastes like fall.
Yeah, it tasted like fall. Tasted like Dunkin' Donuts in its prime. I don't think Dunkin's good anymore, but when it was good, this drink tasted like when Dunkin' was good.
Yeah, make Dunkin' great again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of just wanted to quickly get through. Since we've done the Sydney area, we wanted to get really through it. And
we'll be back to the Sydney area.
And one spot we wanted to see was Royal National Park Figure Eight Pools. I didn't really know what this place was, but Maxie saw some stuff online about it, and you've heard of it before.
Yeah, I mean, I've been wanting to go there since I was last in Australia. I went to Royal National Park when I was in Australia last, but not to the Figure Eight Pools. The Figure Eight Pools are a natural rock shelf with tons of rock, well, just like big, deep pools inside the rock shelf.
And they're perfect circles too. Like, I have no idea how they like make these. It's almost like aliens took like a drill bit and drilled into these rocks and then stopped and drilled into the rocks again and stopped.
I agree. Like, multiple are perfect circles, and then the figure eight is two perfect circles in the shape of an eight. It was just really amazing. And the hike down there was like, you're supposed to go at low tide because it's a rock shelf in the ocean, so the waves could start crashing up and it could get dangerous. We went at when the tide was coming back in.
Yeah, we went at a good time. So I guess there's four levels. Like, there's low, moderate, high, and extreme. And for the day's forecast, it was never above moderate. So I don't really think the waves would have been a problem, but it was scary because the waves were huge. And the tide was coming in, so, like, there would be tons of spray. Like, you could almost get sprayed by the waves crashing.
There are some sketchy areas that you have to hike by with the waves crashing.
It was a great hike, though. I was really happy with it. Nice swim down in the figure eight pools, which were freezing.
Some of them were warm.
Yeah, some of them were warmer. You're right.
It's just a special experience.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not something you could find in Connecticut.
No, not at all. And you start up on top of the headland and hike down, and it was like literally down half, 2 miles down and then 2 miles back up, and it was a pretty pretty steep way back. I think our elevation gain was 2,000 feet on that, compared to the six summits we just did was 2,800 feet.
Yeah.
So, and that was in 15 miles.
No, the one summit.
But we'll get there. Yeah,
we just summited the tallest mountain in Australia.
Mm-hmm. But the Royal National Park was a great national park. I give it two thumbs up.
We rate it, as the Aussies say.
Yeah, good national park. Close to Sydney. The train line goes right there. And nice place.
On the way out of the national park, because we were just driving down to Wollongong and beyond, there was this famous highway.
Yeah, it's like the classic looking... I think it's in a lot of books where they built this massive curvy bridge that goes out into the water along the cliffside, and we got to drive over it and see it from like above, and it is really cool looking. Like
just driving on top of the ocean.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. And it was cool that because like most bridges are like over a body of water, so there's nothing on either side. But this one, you had the cliff face on one side. Super steep drop, or I mean, the cliff drops right off, and you're like 300 feet in the air. But I think if you'd even look up like the Great Ocean Road, a picture of that comes up, even though that's not on the Great Ocean Road.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was on our way down to Wollongong. And when we got to Wollongong, we're like, dang, this place really stinks. Like, what is this?
Yes. Like, it smelled like swamp, and then it smelled like rotten eggs.
Yeah.
And we were like, ew, Wollongong smells so bad. And we're looking around and seeing people on runs and whatever, and we're having a hard time coping with how bad the city smells as we're like checking out the views.
Checking out the views.
And I'm saying to Corey, how do people live here? What is that smell? Why are people just out and about not questioning the smell? It's so gross.
Yeah, and my thought process was like, oh, there's a swamp here or like a marshland. I'm like, oh, maybe there's just like a bad day with the breeze and it's swampy. And
there's then, a mine in the distance.
Oh, no, there was like a steel production plant, a steel mill or something like that. So I'm like, oh, maybe this is just the smell of that. Like, that's really bad. I don't know. So we continue driving, and
we're like, we literally need to leave this city because it smells bad. So bad.
And we're going, and we're like, is it the car? Like, what is going on? And we like turn on the air, and we can smell it. And I'm like, maybe that's just the air from outside.
Yeah.
And we keep going, and then eventually we get to our caravan park, and we're like, geez, it's got to be our car. It smells so bad. And even like the lady at the caravan park was like, oh, wow, did you spill your gas or something? It smells bad here. And we're like, I don't know. Maybe it's like we looked it up and we was like, maybe there's the fuel filter. We did that when we were driving. Maybe the fuel filter, something like that. But then I popped the hood of the truck once we get to our site and the battery is spewing out water. And I'm like, what is going on here?
The old battery, because we have two batteries.
Yeah, the old battery that works our fridge and stuff. And one of the options was an overcharged battery, but that battery was like not that good and wouldn't really hold the charge well. So in my head, I was like, it's probably not that. But it was that. So the battery got overcharged and
I literally thought it was going to explode.
Yeah.
Corey put it in a field.
Yeah, I took it out of the car because you're just supposed to unhook it so it doesn't keep charging and it settles down a little bit. But it was sketchy. Like, I've never seen a battery do that before.
I know. I was panicking when you were unplugging it.
Yeah, but it was a bit odd.
It was fine.
It turned out being fine, yeah.
And we're leaving soon, so our fridge can be unpowered.
Yeah, just get some bags of ice and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was definitely a, like, oh my God, what is going on here? This is nuts.
Yeah, and then we headed down to Jarvis Bay, I don't know how they pronounce it, and this another area. Place.
What? I was going to say another place that's known for like, oh, this is the whitest sand in the world. Like, so far we've been to like 10 places that have the whitest sand in the world.
Yeah.
Or at least three.
They say the top three are in competition for whitest sand is Whitehaven Beach in the Whitsundays, Lucky Bay in Esperance, and Hyams Beach in Jervis Bay. So we've been to all three, so we can give our opinion.
Do you want to start with number three or number one?
Three. I would say, sorry, Jervis Bay. Hyams Beach is really cute and beautiful. And
Little Hyams Beach is even better.
Yeah, Little Hyams Beach, way better. We spent our day there. But you're number three.
Whitsundays too.
Whitsundays too. Yeah. They had a bunch of dirty leaves in their white sand, at least when we went.
And Lucky Bay.
Lucky Bay is actually the winner.
And I think it's by a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the sand was white and like the water was nice and blue, but the Lucky Bay is like way better than any of those other, like,
definitely the whitest sand. They didn't need to bring any scientists in to measure the whiteness of the sand.
Yeah, exactly. But we had a great time just hanging out at that beach for a while and going swimming.
Yeah, that was such a nice beach. But Jervis Bay, like, I'm confused. I've wanted to go there for years and years and years. Finally got there. And so we go down to this town of Jervis Bay after we went to Little Hyams Beach. And turns out Jervis Bay is like a military national park. Like, it's all confusing.
Yeah, well, the first place we wanted to go to before the beach was called Honeymoon Bay because we met some people up at the tip and they were like, oh, Little Honeymoon Bay is absolutely gorgeous. So we ended up camping kind of close to it, and then we try and go down, and it's a military checkpoint, and we have to go inside and say, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you didn't know we're closed on the weekends because we're an active military base and we're doing military training."
Monday through Friday.
Yeah, and then we eventually go to the park, and like half the things are closed because it's a weekday,
You'd
and
have paid $20 to get into the Jervis Bay Park.
yeah, it was absolute rip off, and they didn't even tell us like what was on, what
We
could you
couldn't get to
do.
the lighthouse.
Yeah, it was pretty annoying.
But the beaches are all stunning. All of them are very blue with light white sand.
Yeah, I think we went and hung out at Morton Beach or something like
Murray's
that.
Beach, I think.
Murray's Beach, yeah.
It was so pretty.
Very pretty and like
Like,
nice
I
water.
get why people live in Jervis Bay, and turns out Jervis Bay is the whole massive bay of water where there's a bunch of towns along it. So when they say they live in Jervis Bay, it could be all these other towns that aren't formally called Jervis Bay. Because Jervis Bay is just this little village that has one general store,
Yeah.
and it's in the national park. So,
That we got ice creams out that were delicious.
yeah. But it was just hard to.
It was just annoying that people weren't like never told us that Jervis Bay isn't just the national park. It's like the area around it, and that's that. It was cool to
Yeah.
see. Nice beaches.
I would live there, I think, that
Yeah, it's
area.
pretty. And we camped out in Jervis Bay, one of the little towns around the coast. And oh my God, what was there?
So many cicadas.
Or do we say cicadas wrong? Cicadas?
The Australians are laughing at us for saying cicada.
Yeah, they literally
Cicada.
cicadas, but that's literally the tomato tomato thing.
Also,
Like,
side note, they say shallot instead of shallot.
that is out of pocket. That's not right. Like,
Shallot.
and they also say fillet.
Fillet instead of filet.
Yeah,
Anyways,
there's so many cicadas there.
I've never seen so many. They were taking over, but that campsite was nice.
Oh, very nice. They had like a little food truck that was only open for an hour and a half in the morning, but we'll give
Well,
them a break on that.
not even every day of the week, like twice a week.
Yeah.
And they had a really nice water view
Like
area.
sitting area
Yeah.
that was all turfed out.
And like three stadium seating rows, basically, or
Yeah.
two.
Like bench seats that
Yeah,
all
it was
went
just
around.
cute.
Really cute, but like the cicadas at night were one. Well, during the day, they were so loud you could barely think. And then at night, the bathroom lights all stayed on. So they got all attracted to the bathroom light. So I think we went to the bathroom in the middle of the night for just to.
Yeah, because the people were partying near us,
Yeah, there
and
was.
I had to go to the bathroom because they woke me up.
And we were walking to the bathroom, and there was like 800 cicadas flying around the bathroom and just like on the ground and everywhere.
Yep, it was very scary to walk.
Yeah, that was a bit annoying. And like so there was campers next to us that the camp etiquette sometimes isn't good. Like these people rocked up at 10:30 and didn't go to bed till 4 a.m. and they were making big fuss about all the cicadas. They were like screaming and
They
like,
were
"Oh my
sprinting
God."
anywhere they went, and yeah, whenever they wanted to go to the bathroom, you would just hear four girls sprinting like horses galloping down a track because they wanted to avoid the cicadas. But it's just, you don't do that at a campsite.
Yeah, you'd be quiet, you just be respectful. And we felt bad because there was like two toddlers that were camped up next to them. So
Yeah, we were a couple sites away,
yeah, we
but
were fine.
We felt bad for that family.
Yeah, and we had a chill morning, had a little coffee at the food truck that we snuck in because they're only open for an hour and a half. And then got to sit on like the little waterfront and watch the ducks on the river.
Oh, and that dog got in our lap.
Oh yeah, there was a purebred border collie that was sitting next to us, and it like wanted to come say hi, and we're like, "Hey, dog!" And the owner was like, "Oh, we'll let you say hi," and literally just sat on Maxie and wanted all the pets and all the love.
Yeah, he was full on.
Yeah, he was a good doggo.
Then we drove down the coast the long way to Kosciuszko, down to Bateman's Bay.
Yeah, so we've done a good job of like really doing a lap.
Yeah.
Like we went all the way down to Bateman's Bay and then cut in and took Bateman's was cool. I don't really know. We kind of just
Yeah,
popped in, popped out.
we went Thanksgiving grocery shopping there.
Yeah. And I didn't know it at the time, but we were taking the most scenic way to
Mount Kosciuszko.
Mount Kosciuszko, yeah. And like at first I thought I was done with dirt roads, but like this road went up through the mountain range and I'm like, oh, this is sweet. And eventually it got to like a single lane dirt track, and we followed that probably for like 2 hours all on dirt, but it was beautifully paved and like really nice road. So I think I was really happy that we went that way to get like probably our last real like out in the bush, out in the middle of nowhere driving experience, because that's kind of what it's all about.
It
down
was
here
stunning, but the only thing, I don't even know if I should say it because it's kind of upsetting,
a lot of,
but we got to see wombats again, but not in a good way.
No, that was sad.
I'm really upset.
Yeah, a lot of wildlife. But the road trip to Kosciuszko was beautiful, and
we camped right on the lake in Jindabyne.
Gorgeous campsite. And we got in, I think it was really busy because
it's the ultra trail big race of the year there.
Yeah.
Emily, our friend Emily, was doing the 30-kilometer race, and our friend Johnny was doing the 50-kilometer race.
Yeah, so they...
But there was also a 100-kilometer race and a 100-mile race. Insane.
We got to see some of the 100K and 100-milers finish. If you wonder how long that takes, the 100-mile, or the 100K, which is about 60 miles... finished in the first place finished in 8 hours, or no sorry,
what?
10 hours. Still super fast, like 10-11 hours.
100k,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
11 hours. And I think the first place for the 100-mile finished in 18 hours. But
that's fast.
That's really fast, because there was still 100-kilometer and 100-milers finishing this morning when we went down there and watch the finish line.
Yeah, we got to watch at least 10 people within 15 minutes.
Yeah, finish. And they looked pretty good. Like,
they had full energy from what I could see.
But after running 100 miles, that's incredible. I can't believe it.
I would be walking my way in, limping my way to the finish line, crying and frowning. But they were not this way.
Oh, it was like emotional watching them finish, because it's like, that is an insane accomplishment.
While I think every single one of them has something deeply wrong with them, I was still brought to nearly tears every time they crossed the finish line. My eyes couldn't help but well up.
Yeah, it was amazing. And seeing like all the support from, it was pouring rain, so it was just like a fight, you know, like they got delayed because there was thunderstorms, so they had to sit at aid stations for a while. And oh, it was insane, the race. It's been pouring the last day, so we got a really good day to go up on the hill.
And we watched these people finishing at 31 and a half hours.
So imagine running for 31 hours. That's insanity.
Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah, back to it. Well, our campsite was great. We had lake views. And actually, everyone, since it was the race this weekend, the campsite was fully booked. But they were one of the best camping crowds ever. Like,
seriously.
We were super, the campsite was super packed, super tight, but everyone went to bed at 8 o'clock. Everyone was like good campers. So I feel like it's just like a lot of them were doing the race. Either they went to bed earlier, they're just being like, they know good camping etiquette.
No, I think they're all racers that just needed a good night's sleep. It was phenomenal. And the weather was a bit chilly, so we had really good night's sleeps in the tent.
Oh, I'm really going to miss, probably going to be my first purchase when I go back home, is a rooftop tent for my truck.
Yeah, I really am going to miss it. Fast forward, we've been in Jindabyne, we've been staying in houses, Airbnb, hotel, and I actually am like mourning the fact that we don't have like those nights in our rooftop tent since we're leaving soon.
Yeah, it is a bit sad, but it'll continue. Oh,
but the comforts of a house are also great. But the rooftop tent, we just loved.
Yeah, and we met up with Emily and Johnny again that night for some pre-race dinner for them, and just hanging out and walking around town. It's a nice town we're in. A little, like, ski village, kind of reminds me of, like, Killington.
Yeah, the waterfront is beautiful.
Nice big lake on it. The lake kind of reminds me of Lake Powell.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine, like, Killington on Lake Powell. Which sounds like a beautiful place.
Yeah.
That's what we're in.
It's really pretty. And we hiked to the summit of Kosciuszko, which is the highest point in Australia, also known as one of the seven summits of the world.
Yes.
We hiked to the top with my friend Cam and Sam, who shared an Airbnb with us. Our friend Cam.
Yeah.
Our friends Cam and Sam. And
yeah. So Kosciuszko is part of, if you don't know what the seven summits are, it's the seven highest.
Think Mount Everest. Sorry.
It's the seven highest summits on each continent. Kosciuszko is more of a traditional, like, I don't know. There's a lot of debate about, like, which are the actual highest on each continent. But the traditional seven summits are Australia, which is Kosciuszko. There's one in Antarctica that I don't really know the name of.
That's one of the seven summits?
One in Antarctica, yeah.
Wow. Mount Kilimanjaro.
Kilimanjaro in Africa. Mount Everest in Asia. Mount Elbrus in, like, Turkey, that's considered Europe. And Mount McKinley and Mount, like, Anaconda in South America. But yeah, so now we checked one of the seven summits off. There's only been 500 people in the world to do all seven summits.
Really?
It's very little, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's like a really elite mountaineering thing. I think there was a documentary recently. Oh, no, that was the 18ers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The guy in Nepal who did all the 18 highest peaks in the desert.
Has problems too.
Yeah, that guy's a nut.
I just think if anyone's too into something, especially long time
mountaineering is what you'd call it, like, well, extreme, like, long distance mountaineering that takes up like days of your life.
Yeah, and you're away from your family and doing something dangerous, you got probs.
But the hike up, well, Kosciuszko is debated. Because, like, growing up, everyone learns that Australia is its own continent. But then, like, who defines a continent? Is it, like, tectonic plates or whatever? But Kosciuszko, the hike, and it's also considered the easiest. And it was easy.
It was so easy. I honestly, my mom, I think, got nervous when I said we're hiking one of the seven summits instead of doing a turkey trot for Thanksgiving. And she's like, oh, boy, be careful. But
beautifully, it's probably the most, I don't know, like, how do you describe the most money put into a trail hike I've ever been on? Like, they had graded, like, the road up, you could drive, there's people biking up it, just yeah, about.
It was very easy, and it almost felt unfair to, like, say that's one of the seven summits, because it was just so.
And that's kind of why it's debated as, like,
yeah, one.
But we're calling it, we follow the traditional seven summits.
Yes, 100%. They put in so many boardwalks, and
the boardwalks are beautiful. They're metal grates, so you didn't have to walk on, like, uneven.
Well, it was ground. More like so you don't destroy the
fauna.
Yeah.
The flora.
They're very protective of their grasses and
the mountains were beautiful. Like, getting up there is like getting up above the tree line and like the White Mountains and stuff. It was all rugged. I've seen pictures of like Wales and Snowdonia. And that's kind of what it looks like, I think. Just rolling green hills forever. Oh, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Yeah, Cam got to show us around because this was his fourth time summiting Mount Kosciuszko. And his girlfriend, Sam, it was her first hike ever.
Mm-hmm. Kudos to her for putting in a big day on the hill.
Retweet. Yeah, that's the craziest thing first to be able to ever, say. Yeah. Like, that's your fun fact for the rest of your life. Is
my first hike.
My first hike was to the summit of Mount Kosciuszko.
Yeah, and I had a blast out there. We spent, we took it pretty easy, took it slow. We spent like 7 hours out there, and we both got like, the wind was whipping. So we got like wind burn and a little sun kissed.
Yeah, but then mine was all good by the next morning.
So it was
really
fine.
I think it was wind burn.
I think so too.
And then it was just Cam, Corey, and I on the way back because Sam went a different way. And that was fun.
Yeah, so as well. We got to hear from, eventually when we finished, we got to hear from Emily and Johnny about their races. And congrats to Johnny for finishing in sixth place on his 50K run. He's like a superstar. That's incredible.
We're so proud of our friends.
So he finished in like 4 hours and 30 minutes.
Something like that.
50 kilometers, and that's about 30 miles, 31 miles, I think. So that's insane. All on trail. That's like an average time finishing for a marathon, and he did five more miles and more elevation.
Yep. And congrats to Emily for her longest race ever.
Yes, she crushed it. Hearing some stories from the races were pretty funny.
Yeah.
Emily, remember, go to aid stations and fill up your water.
Yeah.
If you're listening. But yeah, it was good catching up with them. And we went to the pub and everyone was there from the race celebrating and talking about their races and how they did. And we snuck into a photo of their, like,
their running group.
Johnny doesn't like calling it a running group. He calls it a training group.
Well, yeah, I think they pay the coach.
Yeah. And so we got in their training group's photo.
Yeah, we were trying to swiftly exit that photo and some man blocked us in and was like, nope, you're in the photo.
Yeah, and the next morning, kind of was a chill night, and the next morning we started getting ready for Thanksgiving, just going out to Brekkie and having like coffee. But I don't know, this town isn't really busy in the summer because it's more of a ski town. But the coffee, I've never waited so long for a coffee. I got pancakes, but Cam and Sam got like toast and avocado and a breakfast, like bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah.
2 hours.
And iced coffees. Cam's cold brew. It literally took them an hour to bring the coffees to Sam and Cam.
40 minutes for the coffee. And I was the first person to get my food at an hour and like 40 minutes.
Yeah, and I ordered a banana bread and I still had to wait like a half an hour for it. And they just had it in the refrigerated case.
Yeah. I've never, like, I get that you're busy, but like...
No, we chose that cafe because it was like...
less busy.
It looked dead compared to the snowboard coffee shop.
Yeah, and they even were worried, like, oh, it's going to be 20 minutes for food. No, it's going to be an hour and 40 minutes for food.
Insane.
Just another ode to, like, Australians don't, like... If you were working for tips, you would get no tips, you know? And if you were paying at the, like... If you were paying at the end of your meal here, oh, walking off. But since we already paid for it, like, you have to sit and wait.
Yeah, exactly. I hate paying first.
Yeah. But the rest of the day, we're kind of just hanging out, cooking. Maxie did some amazing cooking, and I snuck out and went on maybe one of the last bike rides down here, which is kind of sad because I'll probably pack the bike up soon when we get to Sydney.
Yeah, but Corey came back from his bike ride and really took over the cooking and made... for our Thanksgiving dinner, we actually did chicken because Cam doesn't like turkey and we didn't have that many guests with us, so we wanted to accommodate and make everyone happy. So we did a chicken and a ham and stuffing, mashed potatoes, sweet potato casserole, green bean casserole, gravy, vegetable gravy for Emily who's a vegetarian, portobello mushrooms seasoned the same way we did the chicken for Emily. What else? Cranberry sauce.
We did. I baked a pie.
Corey baked a pie.
And I baked some dinner rolls.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and it turned out to be a fun evening. We've never hosted a Thanksgiving before, but it was a little stressful just because, like...
It's not our... First off, we didn't know what the kitchen would look like, how big their oven would be, what kind of cookware they would have. Honestly, it had more than, like...
The average.
Your average Airbnb, but still...
No,
we were
stuff.
Like... juggling pots and pans to try to make it all work.
Yeah, and I think we did a great job for what we did. I think the food was delicious. I was especially surprised with how good the chicken was. Like,
yeah, great job.
I just looked up one random recipe because I think it was my second time ever making a full chicken like that, and oh, I really liked it.
That was great.
Yeah, and what else did we do that evening?
Said what we were grateful for. And
we watched some American football.
Yeah, Corey put on an old game on the TV from last week. And even Cam, who's half American, has never had a Thanksgiving before. So Johnny has had a Thanksgiving, he said, in Costa Rica with some random Americans he met. But he said it was more random food than just traditional. So it was basically our four guests' first Thanksgiving, and I think they really had fun.
Yeah, and I had fun too. And it's kind of like we've made such good friends with Emily and Johnny and Cam and Sam over the last... Well, we kind of knew Cam and Sam before we got here, but Emily and Johnny, we like made friends with them in Tassie, and it's just been like a full circle. So
yeah, I really think the universe wanted us to become close friends with them because...
Just so many things lined up, you know?
Yeah, and we had to say goodbye to them today because we won't see them until whenever the next time will be.
Yeah, we're going to make a plan a trip to go to Europe with them.
Yeah, or Thailand.
that's cheating, though, because Thailand is so much closer to here than we are to Thailand. So true, we got to meet us in the middle.
We got to make it challenging for them.
Yeah.
But I was actually getting emotional because they're such great friends of ours. And we only have known them for now, like, I don't know, 9, 10 months. I don't know. But
we've come really close with them.
Yeah, they're wonderful people.
And they were so nice. They, like, booked an extra night on their hotel room because they didn't really know how they were watching their mates in the 100 mile and 100K. But their mates all ended up pulling out. Oh, this is a crazy story from the race. They said that the weather came in and it was so bad that up on top of the mountain was hailing so hard that people have bruises over their bodies.
Yeah, and they were pulling out of their race because of it.
Yeah, but long story short, they thought they might stay another night and they ended up not. So they booked this hotel room and they're like, do you guys want it? Like, I don't know what your plans are if you want to camp in the rain. And we're like, that's awesome. So nice of you guys. Thank you.
What a blessing. What a gift. Oh my gosh. Emily brought a amazing like spinach dip bread appetizer, which she calls cob loaf. And my cousin makes it every like Thanksgiving and Christmas, but hers was so good. I think she has an extra ingredient in there. So, and she's just such a great guest. And then we went out to the store and she got ice cream.
Yeah.
For Corey's pie. So they're just so generous and we love them and we're sad to like not see them for a little bit, but
yeah,
we're gonna reconnect. And they convinced Corey to do parkrun.
Well, here's the thing. Last night everyone was like, so parkrun is basically just a social 5K that they do all over Australia. The closest ones to us are New York and Boston. There's none in Connecticut. So we didn't really know what they are. We've never done them. We've heard a ton about parkrun. And last night everyone was like, well, Maxie, me, Emily, and Johnny were like, yeah, dude, let's do parkrun in the morning. It was going to be Emily's 50th parkrun, which is like accomplishment. You get like a shirt because it's like a big organization. They send it to you online. And this morning rolls around and it's pouring rain. And Emily, we were kind of all following her because it was going to be her big parkrun because it was 50th. And it's raining. So she's like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, she woke up big mad. And she was actually going to run with me because she's super limping after her 30K. And she could probably outrun me anyways limping, but she said she would run with me. So I was kind of excited, but it was pouring.
And I was like, whatever. Like, I like running 5Ks. Let's just do it. And my goal was under 20 minutes, which is kind of an unrealistic goal because I only ran... The last time I ran was in Coffs Harbor, and then the time before that was in Magnetic Island. So I've ran twice in the last 2 months, just been biking up a storm. So I ran it in like 22 and a half minutes, which was pretty good.
That's still so fast. I didn't run it because Emily and Johnny didn't come to run it, and I didn't want to just be like miserable in the rain for over half an hour because I too haven't run in a while, and I'm not as fast as Corey. So... Great job, Corey, for still, you're so dedicated and committed and challenge yourself all the time and inspire everybody. So Corey did it alone. But Emily and Johnny did come for his finish, which was so nice.
Yeah.
And they walked us with their umbrella to our car.
And that's that for this week, guys. I've had a ton of fun recording this episode and a ton of fun this week. What, you have more?
Did we say we went to Threadbow?
Oh, no, we didn't. Sorry.
It's not that eventful, but then we drove to Threadbow and got to check out that little ski neighborhood with Cam, Sam, Emily, and Johnny, and that's where we all said goodbye to Emily and Johnny.
Oh, so sad.
And our matchas.
Oh, yeah.
Corey and Johnny both ordered me and Emily a matcha latte.
So Maxie was like, oh, give me a chai or matcha, whatever, I don't know. And I think Emily said the same thing to Johnny, and we went up and ordered our coffees. And the lady to me was like, how do you want your matcha? And she was like, with sugar and honey. And I'm like, well, what do you think? Like, what do you recommend? She's like, yeah, I like sugar and honey. And I was like, yeah, do it however you want to do it. And then Maxie's coffee comes out looking like
fancy with like white foam on the top.
It was like pistachio or something.
Yeah, it looked like pistachio, but it was just like matcha sprinkled on top to look really pretty. And then Emily's comes out and hers is just like green with no foam.
Like spinach juice.
Yeah. And we just couldn't figure out what went wrong when Johnny ordered because they were so different.
Oh, that was so funny.
Yeah. We always have a good laugh with that couple.
Okay. Yeah, but what else? Anything?
We'll see Canberra tomorrow, so that'll be our series last state because Jervis Bay is technically its own territory.
Yeah, Jervis Bay doesn't deserve to be their own territory.
But anyways, I think we've really checked off everywhere in Australia, basically.
We've seen it all, guys, and now we're heading back for our last 9 days in Australia.
Oh, yeah. That is a gut punch.
That is a definite gut punch. So we got to sell the car. We got a lot of interest in it, and hopefully the right buyer comes around and buys it.
They will. Send us good vibes, guys.
Thank you all for listening to this week, and we love you all. See you all soon. Have a good day.
We love you. Have a good day.